the winner of the award for Best Video Game Podcast goes to the Besties. Welcome to Triple Click, where we bring the games to you. Today we are talking about the Game Awards, the annual celebration of all things video games. Let's talk about the nominees and some of the controversies. I'm Jason Schreier.
I'm Kirk Hamilton.
And I'm Maddie Myers.
Hello, we are back.
Hi.
For another episode.
We are.
It's
we
us. Are.
Yep.
We're
we
back.
Are, we are recording this a little bit early because I'm about to go
a
to LA.
So we're really back. It's
like almost a full week early,
we
actually.
Just did a doubleheader. Now we're back at it again.
All sorts of things could happen between when we record this and when, yeah. When it goes live.
This is the first time we've recorded three episodes in a single week. It's a triple, triple click for
it's
us.
It's a triple,
three.
Triple click. It's impressive.
Oh, it is a triple week for Triple Click. That's true.
Right.
And Kirk is like everywhere. He's on the Besties. He's
I
on
know.
How Did This Get Played?
It's a quadruple like, Kirk week.
It's true. I've been on a lot of podcasts.
Podcasting all over the place.
See, I'm taking the month off from Strong Song, so I'm just like energized for podcasting. I have all this podcast energy to spur.
He's just talking into the mirror every day. Yeah.
Just monologuing at my dog and at Emily.
If you out there want to keep Kirk's energy up and make it so he can feed himself to keep to like, he needs a lot of calories to keep that energy going. So
yeah, so true.
You can help
so
support
true.
The show. You can help support Triple Click, which is an entirely listener supported podcast. We don't have any ads. We just have members like you fine folks out there.
That's true.
If you become a member, a Max Fund member, you can support the show. The minimum all you have to pay is $5 a month. And in exchange for that $5 a month, you get a bonus episode from us every single month, in addition to a feed full of other shows' bonus episodes. But from us, you're getting it monthly. That's pretty cool, I think. Our most recent bonus episode, which just went up, is about Battles Royale. It's about, we all watch the movie Battle Royale, and we talk about like the genre
Squid
as a
Game.
Whole. We talk about Squid Game, Danganronpa. We just kind of dissect it.
Fortnite.
And it's a lot of fun.
We spoil Fortnite.
We do.
There,
we spoil.
So
we spoil the story
noting,
of Fortnite.
That was a fun one. We had a couple of fun bonus episodes recently,
yeah.
I'm going to say. I really liked that Battle Royale episode. That was a lot of fun.
It was.
So if
great
you want
movie.
To check all that stuff out and help support the show, help make Triple Click happen, you can go to MaximumFun.org/join. But even if you can't or don't want to, we still love you and thank you for being here
and
listening to
thank you
to
for
our
listening.
Show. You out there, Triple Click's audience wins the Game Award for Best Audience. Best Podcast Audience.
I think that they would really win that.
We don't have the authority to give them a game award for that.
I think,
we can give them some type of Triple Click award.
The Triple Click awards. The triple clickies.
The clickies.
I think, and our Discord wins the award for best community, the Triple Click Discord, which you
I
can
think
go
that
check
would,
out.
Congratulations.
They would really be strong contenders for that
yes,
award.
It's
a pretty
absolutely.
Great community.
Maybe I'll even pop into the Discord while at the Game Awards show.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
I'll send you guys some pics.
Yeah, because the reason we're recording this so early is because Jason will physically be at the Game Awards this coming week.
I will. On Monday, I'm flying out to Los Angeles. That's what we're talking about today, by the way, because I didn't say that up front. But yeah,
no.
Today we're doing a What's the Deal with the Game Awards, because it's a big show. A lot of people are talking about it this week, and we want to talk about it. Yeah, on Monday, I fly out to LA. I'm doing a bunch of stuff, doing some reporting, talking to some, meeting up with some folks. And on Thursday,
are you going to rush the stage during the Game Awards and like do anything crazy? Like, should we keep
funny,
an eye out for
no.
you, like while mm-hmm. we're watching? It or
no.
like maybe you'll be in the audience. What kind of mask are you gonna be wearing?
Maybe you'll see me in the audience. You're
holding a Suikoden sign.
Yeah.
I'll be hanging out with our former colleague Tina Amini. We'll be sitting there and cracking
nice.
Up
cool,
and making
cool.
jokes the whole time. So that'll be fun. But yeah, I'll be at the Game Awards. Looking forward to it. The show itself is like, who needs to be there? You can just watch it on Twitch. But afterwards, there's always like a big hangout at like a hotel bar nearby, which is pretty cool. So looking forward to that and just seeing people. Like, this is my first time traveling for real in 2 years, and that's nuts.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So yeah, very much looking forward to it. But anyway, let's talk about the show, right? So the Game Awards. This is like
Gaming's biggest night, red carpet, all the greatest designers creating outfits for Todd Howard.
It's a show that wants to be the Oscars of video games, that's for sure. And it has an interesting history. We won't get into it too much, but the short version is there used to be this thing called the Spike Video Game Awards that a guy called Jeff Keighley would put together and run, and that's kind of one of the ways in which he became famous. He became the Jeff Keighley that many game fans know today. The Spike VGAs were actually, the Spike Game Awards were actually super heavily criticized because they did a lot of like Spike TV things. I remember I wrote a blog post in like 2011 that went viral about it, but a lot of people for teabagging and like doing all sorts of ridiculous. It's not a joke. In 2011, they had this skit where like, if you spoke for too long on stage, a guy dressed up as a Call of Duty character would come out and teabag you on stage.
Right. And you wrote a post about how cool that was. And
I did. Amazing. This really like
greatest
gamer
thing
culture
ever.
Why don't
the Oscars do this instead of that like stupid thing where they play classical music? And now the Oscars do that because of you. Yeah.
Since then, Keighley has gone off on his own, started the show on his own, the Game Awards, and it's become the big thing every single year. And the reason that it gets so much attention is not because of the awards, which I don't think a ton of people are super invested in, but because of the game announcements. And unlike the Oscars or really any other award show, this show includes trailers and new reveals for upcoming video games. So it's more of like a marketing event than it is an award show, or like it's a half marketing event, half award show. And then what's really bizarre is there's also like live music from random bands that Keighley likes and like celebrities just talking about stuff and whatnot. It's kind of this weird chimera of like just entertainment, like parts of entertainment that I guess Jeff Keighley is really into. It's a lot of just his personal passions. So like his favorite bands show up. I think Weezer was on there 1 year. Imagine Dragons is coming this year. Keighley's really into music. So this is why they're just random bands appearing on stage at the Game Awards. And so this year we're going to see like a bunch of game announcements, and that's what people are most excited about.
And it's why I have to watch it for work. I mean, we're going to write up the award winners, but it's also similar to preparing for a press conference or E3 or what have you. We prepare like a news slate for the Game Awards, which if you're covering the Oscars, and I've covered the Oscars before for other publications, you are only covering the awards. You write, you can pre-write a lot of that coverage. But for the Game Awards, you can't do any of that. You have to pre-write the announcements that you think are going to be made. And often, Jeff Keighley is pretty secretive about who will and won't appear in the show. So it's like a real news event that you actually have to watch the whole darn thing to find out what games are going to be announced.
Yeah. You got to assign your team of reporters have people getting on that
stuff. Have their screenshot fingers ready on the mouse, clicking away.
So yeah, I've always been of two minds of that. On one hand, like it's not like this is ever going to have the prestige of the Oscars because it's a marketing event. On the other hand, who cares about the prestige of the Oscars? It's fun to have a marketing event where you're seeing new games. Like it is super fun to watch new games get announced. As tasteless and strange and puerile it might all feel to be like, this is, we're getting really excited about marketing. It's something that is objectively excited. The three of us are all going to be excited when the new Star Wars game gets announced at the Game Award or whatever else happens at the Game Award.
I mean, let's take it easy.
We won't talk about it.
No, it's just, you know, maybe.
I mean, it's like, I get it. It's hard because it's like, yes, there is always a part of me that's kind of excited. But then there's this weird thing that happens during the Game Awards stream where usually it's interrupted by actual commercials, which are also for video games. And like from the reporting side, you'll be like, you know, poised over your keyboard, like, wait, is this just, oh no, this is just a Call of Duty advertisement. Yep. This isn't an actual like advertisement for a completely new game that we've never seen before in our lives. Those
it
are the advertisements
ad
that are part of
game.
The show. This is a current advertisement for a current video game. But yeah, you are basically getting excited to watch advertisements.
Yeah,
and then when
like,
they're announcing the awards, they usually go really quickly, like more so than other awards shows do. And they don't necessarily have people make speeches in the same way. They like really pump them out. Like Best Indie is probably going to be like 0.2 seconds of the show. Like we're going to talk about the nominees a little bit on our show, and we might spend more time on that than the actual Game Awards end up spending, because they will be rocketing by so they can like announce the expansion for, you know, Ubisoft's mobile whatever. I mean, they're going to be going
well,
at a clip.
Well, you gotta fit in the Imagine Dragons concert. Oh,
of course,
if you're gonna do a Game Awards show.
It's a weird event for that reason. It's unusual. It's not quite like anything else.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe I'm unusual, or maybe I represent some sliver of the viewership out there, but I find the Game Awards not very pleasant to watch just as a viewing experience. Sort of similar to E3 press conferences. I do think it's really fun to watch in the Discord, you know, with other people. You wouldn't have to be in the Triple Click Discord. You could just be in a chat with your friends. Like, it's fun if you're kind of riffing with people. But as a viewing experience, it's pretty unpleasant most of the time because of what you describe. Not just because I'm watching ads and there's that feeling of sort of being marketed to, but just the sort of tenor and frequency of advertisements, the volume, the speed of editing, it's just not a pleasant audiovisual experience. And I actually do care about the awards because I do think this is the closest thing we have to the Oscars. And I think that the awards themselves, the categories, the nominations are just as sort of idiosyncratic and weird and fun to argue about and kind of nonsensical and frustrating in the same way as the Grammys or the Oscars or the other big award shows, and that's actually really fun. I think that this show could probably be a little more of that and it would still get the ratings that it gets. But I also, part of me thinks that maybe the Game Awards, just how video games are always ahead of the curve when it comes to the various industries. We're talking about the film industry, the music industry. The video game industry is very advanced. It's always kind of doing things that the other industries might do in 5 or 10 years. And that by turning the biggest award show of the year into a marketing event for future media, it's just doing a thing that we will eventually see more and more of at those other shows. So I don't really know. Like, I don't love that part of it, but I could see this actually being the future of all award shows eventually.
Well, that would make you more want to watch more.
Well, yeah. And right. I also think the other thing that the Game Awards do is what you just inadvertently mentioned, Kirk, which is emphasize the live aspect of it and the fact that watching it with your friends in a Discord or on Twitter, if you've got friends who are into games, your whole timeline is people making fun of every single person in a fun way, usually, sometimes a slightly mean way, but in a we're all doing it together way.
Like riffing,
and also there
riffing,
will be a live feed, like a Twitch feed and so on. Like, there's the live commentary part of it is something that the Oscars is just too classy to ever even even imagine that being true. But gamers, like, that is a part of, I'm gonna say the phrase, gaming culture. There's no way around it. That's how that sentence ends. But it is. The live aspect of it all and making snarky comments is part of experiencing a video game event.
People definitely live tweet the Oscars.
Oh,
though,
well,
like,
yes.
That's a whole thing, right?
But
like,
there
that's not what you're saying.
The Oscars on Twitch TV, and that experience is not a part of how the Oscars is marketed. It probably will be in like 2 years, though. You know what I mean? Like, that part of it, I agree with you. The Oscars will be debuting the next whatever trailer, you know, Martin Scorsese, and also they will be on Twitch, you know?
Maddie, like, not just is it on Twitch, also there's like a fan vote component. Imagine if the Oscars like a fan, like,
well, that's a little closer to the MTV VGAs and the MTV Video Music Awards, where there are a lot of fan votes,
or like the Teen Choice Awards.
Okay, sure, but that's why those awards don't have the prestige of the Oscars. I think with the Game Awards, it's kind of like it's that lingering just sense of entitlement where it's like they want gamers to feel like completely coddled to. It's like at E3 when the executive Phil Spencer stands up on stage and is like, we do it all for you, the gamer, like, fans are the most important part of our lives. Like, that's what this is all about.
And they play those clip shows of a bunch of, you know, diverse sets of gamers talking about how their feelings about Master Chief are the reason why they do everything day to day. It's why they get up in the morning. And then you watch it and you're like, ah, yes, video games are good for me and I feel great. That's how these events are packaged. Regardless.
Yeah, there's multiple reasons for doing Viewers' Choice Awards. I mean, also, it just gets people involved and it gets the nominees out sharing the thing and trying to get votes. Like, there are a lot of just sort of practical reasons for doing that, in addition to making the audience feel catered to. But That is also part of it. Definitely at the Game Awards.
But it also results in some very weird winners and nominees, which I think we're about to get to, because the Game Awards kind of has it both ways, where it has publications, including Polygon. We did submit a ballot. I don't think either of you were part of any initiative to submit a ballot. TripleClick did not submit a ballot.
No, I've never, maybe when I was at Kotaku 1 or 2 years,
Kotaku,
I contributed.
I can't remember if Kotaku did a ballot then when you were there. But
Kirk, by the way, just to respond to this, I'll let you finish in a second, Maddie, but it's not a viewer's choice award. The way it works is winners are determined by 90% the voting jury and 10% public fan voting. So fans can vote on every
award. There is also a specific award, though, Jason.
Yeah. No. I know, but I'm saying fans can vote on every single award.
Speaking broadly, the same logic applies where it's good to have fan votes involved because that encourages people to talk about the awards.
I just want to make it clear what's happening here.
Yes, Maddie, go ahead. And the other piece of it, the other percentage that Jason mentioned is video game publications. And there are publications that you've probably heard of, like Polygon, because I mention it all the time. It's the one I work for. But then there are also tons and tons of other publications that really run the gamut from like really tiny blogs to much bigger publications. And I personally don't know how these publications are chosen. I've never known how they do or don't.
It's a little bit like Metacritic, right?
Yeah.
It feels a little like being on Metacritic.
It's a little odd. And the result of it is that you have a lot of votes from like these much smaller fan blogs that, as far as I know, are weighted just as heavily as the votes from your IGNs and your Kotakus and your Polygons. And that's also just a thing that makes the end result kind of weird. And you end up with lists of games
a lot of international outlets.
Diverse a certain kind of way where it's like, really? That made it? And I don't always know how we end up where we are. And it definitely makes for fun categories to argue about on Twitter. And pretty much no matter who wins, people are mad about it. But hey, that's just like the Oscars. So maybe the TGAs is doing something right. I don't know. It's all for argument's sake, right? That's why awards exist.
Yeah, I think a lot of the outlets you haven't heard of are the international ones.
You could be right.
Like places in India, Greece, Malaysia, Peru, Philippines, which is pretty cool. It's pretty cool that there's that kind of diversity on this thing. But yeah, let's get into it a little bit. So first of all, Kirk, are you going to watch it? I know it's not an exciting viewing experience for you, but are you actually going to watch it?
That's a kind of overly exciting viewing experience, right? Mm. No, yeah, I'll probably watch. I'll watch and hang out in the Discord, I think. I enjoy that experience, and it's sort of fun seeing who'll win. But I might not watch the whole thing, you know? Mm-hmm. I might turn
it
on for
late.
A bit and then...
Also, like the Oscars, it goes
yeah,
late.
But you don't want to miss the moment when Breath of the Wild 2 pops up, and it's like the amazing next trailer.
Well, so that moment I can miss, because that I'll just watch the next day... on a gaming blog.
Yeah, but it's not as fun. I think...
Disagree.
Okay, so here's where I reveal my true colors. I've talked about this before on the podcast when we talk about E3 and stuff, but here's where I reveal my true colors as like a sucker and a gamer sucker.
A fanboy.
This is the biggest like capital G gamer part of me, but I love the moment when it's like you're totally surprised by something and it's like the Zelda music starts to play and the theater goes dark and everyone's just going crazy. Like one of my most memorable ever like... moments covering this industry was in 2013 when Kirk, you and I were sitting together in the Sony theater and they announced Final Fantasy 15 and like they changed the Versus 13 into a 15 and I was just like
he did make that sound. I did
make that sound.
He became a little Muppet of himself and he was like
I looked over and there's just this Muppet next to me.
I didn't applaud or anything. I don't applaud during these things as a reporter, but I did.
You turned into a Muppet.
What?
You didn't applaud. Not an applauding Muppet. Just
which
a little
is better.
Excited Muppet.
It's better to just scream.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think you miss out on those moments. And I think that's what the Game Awards is really trying to capture, like that feeling of FOMO where if you're not there, and I saw people asking on Twitter the other day, like, why don't these game publishers just release their things on their own schedule? And it's because, well, A, like you have all the eyeballs tuned to this, so you're going to get a lot more attention on your thing, no matter what it is, than you would otherwise. But B, and I think this is pretty important, there is something special about the feeling of like live watching something. It's why like... you don't record the Super Bowl and watch it a f- few hours later. It's like there's something special about watching.
Some people do that, but yeah.
Apparently Kirk does it every year.
It's not the same. Yeah, Kirk, I know you're a big football junkie, and every day you record it, so
so that he can watch it 3 hours later and ignore the internet.
Well, Kirk needs to analyze the offensive line play and figure out what the quarterback did wrong. But anyway, I do get excited about that. So like I would not be happy if I like missed a Breath of the Wild 2 trailer and I had to catch it the next day or something like that. But that's me personally. Right.
Yeah, I'm more okay with that.
Yeah, I think I would still watch it live with friends, even if I didn't have to watch it for work. And I have had years where I didn't have to work it, very few, but I remember them so fondly because I'm like, that was the year I watched it with my friends and we like made fun of it and laughed and like had drinks together, whatever. That's a much more fun way to watch any awards show.
Yep.
But I'm out there making sure Polygon.com has every piece of news you all need. So, yeah, that's me. That's why I'll be doing it.
We appreciate your sacrifice, Maddie.
So let's talk about a thing that happened with Jeff Keighley this week that must be addressed. So Jeff Keighley, I mean, you mentioned before, Maddie, that he was a journalist, and he's definitely done some journalistic work, but he's kind of... because he's so tied to all these game companies for like getting them to reveal their stuff on his show, and because he actually helps them with the marketing, he kind of occupies this kind of unique space in the industry in that he is responsible for like promoting games to people, which is interesting because it puts him in a position where he has to be super positive and friendly to all the game publishers, whereas most journalists, if you're doing journalism, you're going to piss off these companies you cover. speaking from personal experience.
Yeah, from time to time, at least.
Once in a while. But no, I mean, if you do journalism, you're going to piss people off if you're properly reporting on any industry. And Jeff doesn't really do that, but there was one instance a few years ago where he like called out Konami because they had mistreated his BFF, Hideo Kojima, and that was a whole thing. And so this year, he certainly made waves when there was a Washington Post story that was picked up by Kotaku, and I think the Kotaku blog really just like went viral.
Let him have it.
It was originally a Washington Post story. Yeah, that essentially like he was like, I'm carefully considering like wouldn't want to like do anything, like essentially just use some mealy-mouth language to talk about what was happening at Activision Blizzard, because they asked him about that. And obviously Activision, we don't need to rehash that here, but has been dealing with lots of allegations involving sexual misconduct and harassment. So a lot of people called him the fuck out. It was really, really intense, trending on Twitter. Like a lot of people were going after him, especially because like it was just like a couple hours after that when it started coming out that Activision had like laid off a bunch of QA testers, and like there's new Activision just shit show stuff every day. Eventually, all of the outcry, and a lot of people called him out for being a hypocrite that he called out Konami but wouldn't call out Activision. And you can kind of see that because Konami is not in a strong position in the games industry. You don't have to worry about like burning bridges with Konami.
Well, Konami doesn't like have somebody on the Game Awards board. You know, it's a very different level.
That's true. And Activision Blizzard does.
And Konami's just so much smaller than Activision.
Well, Konami doesn't have AAA games. They don't have games that could be announced at the Game Awards. That's the thing, right? Like, so it's an easy target, whereas Activision is not. And so at the end of all this, Jeff Keighley put out a bunch of tweets on Friday night being like Activision will not be part of the Game Awards other than the nominees. And he was like, let me read this. There's Game Awards is a time of celebration. There's no place for abuse, harassment, or predatory practices in any companies or any community. Kind of a vague statement. People were happy that he did that he called out Activision specifically. I have mixed feelings about all of this. There are certainly Ubisoft games on stage. There are certainly
and there's a Ubisoft. Yves Guillemot is on the board as well.
He's on the board.
Mark Merrill from Riot Games is on the board. There's all kinds of people
Riot
on this
games,
board.
Yeah. And these are just the companies we know about. Like every single company, it's only a matter of time before we find out more horrible stories about more companies. The only difference between Activision and EA is that Activision's shit got exposed this year. Like that's the only difference. This is an industry systemic problem. So something about it doesn't sit well with me. But yeah, I'm curious to hear what you guys thought of this whole kerfuffle.
No, I'm with you. I also looked at that list of board members and I was like, well, first of all, this is just every single major company in the industry. And also a lot of these companies we know allegations about, and they're pretty credible allegations that are either currently being disputed internally or like people have actually stepped down at Ubisoft and acknowledged that the allegations were true. So it's not even a secret anymore at some of these companies. And also the games industry has been not only male dominated, but just dealing in extremely sexist advertising campaigns since the 90s. That's been part of how it operated for so long, and it's only now being undone. Mm-hmm. It's just
including on the Game Awards show that was the predecessor to this.
Core way. Yeah, I mean, I was looking at some of the old Spike TV pages before we recorded this, and it's like, yeah, the history of the Game Awards isn't great. Like, what this is, it's rotten from the inside, and it's only in the past 5 years, I'm not even going to say the past 10, that companies have started unpacking some of that and changing things. And these much, much bigger companies are going to have a way harder time doing it because they're so big and they're dinosaurs and they're run by dinosaurs. So my expectations are pretty low, but because my expectations are so low, I'm also like kind of skeptical about the utility of call out campaigns like this on Twitter, where I'm seeing a lot of people being like, get rid of this Activision board member. And I'm like, what are you going to do? Get rid of all the board members and every single advertisement at the Game Awards? Because that's what you would have to do if you actually said you cared about these types of issues. And no gamer wants that because they actually still do want to see even an advertisement for a Blizzard or Activision game at the Game Awards. They kind of do still want to see that. So it's like, how are you going to mediate that problem?
Yeah, I mean, it's more you have to get rid of it all if you follow that line of thinking through to its logical conclusion. You can say that you care about these problems and still involve those games in your industry celebration award, right? Like, there is a middle ground. There's a way to do this. I don't envy Jeff Keighley having to find that middle ground because he's in a very difficult position here, and I think that is true. He also has a unique opportunity to just talk about it some. I think it's interesting that there's a comparison. This is something I've just been really ambiently following and I'm kind of catching up on. But I do remember when he called out Konami over the Kojima stuff, and he had a way in there. And I think that the comparison, it's not a one-to-one comparison between what's happening now and what's happening then for a number of reasons. And I think it's important to look at what really happened then, which was going into the show, nobody was calling for him to speak about this. At the show, if I recall correctly, Konami barred Kojima from coming to the show at all. Mm-hmm. And he kind of had an in as a result, or he had an opportunity to talk about it, because it was like, well, this thing happened that actually affects this show that we're putting on right now. And he could get up and sort of talk about it in a way that felt like relevant to the night, mm-hmm. which is a slightly different thing. Like, that's a kind of a, you know, he had a way in compared to just getting up and being like, this person did something bad, or this person on our board is associated with a company where there is bad behavior, which he could also do. And I'd love to see him do something like that at the awards. But it is just like it's like a trickier thing to thread when it raises the specter of the endless spiraling, like, okay, well, you're talking about Activision, but what about Ubisoft? You're talking about mm-hmm. Ubisoft. What about Riot Games? Okay, well, you talked about those three, but what about this and this and this? And soon it's like no ethical industry award shows under capitalism, right? Like, it's just an impossible thing when he's like, well, really, I'm just trying to put on this award show, guys. Yeah. Like, I can't just spend this whole time talking about that. It's also different when you're before a show and you're being asked to tweet about a thing and the show hasn't even happened yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if anything will happen on the actual night of the show, because that's when he is at his most powerful. That's when he has the most eyeballs on him. And that's when his actions will arguably be the most impactful compared with a tweet saying, I don't stand for harassment and abuse, et cetera, before the show. So some of this remains to be written, but I would love to see him say something else, do something more. You know, he has a real platform and an opportunity.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see.
I am guessing, I feel like I know exactly what's going to happen. He's going to start off the show and he's going to include a mention of, like, we've all seen what's been happening in the industry. Like, we here
I
at
won't
the Game
say
Awards
it
stand
specific,
firmly
but
against abuse. Yeah, yeah. Or
but
even
there's
if
been
he
a
says,
lot
like,
of rough times in the games industry.
It'll be exactly like what happened when people talked about Gamergate in, like, that obfuscating tone in, like, 2014, where they're all like, we've all seen what's happening. We really condemn harassment. Or even, maybe he might even mention the name Activision. He might be like, we've all seen what happens with what's happened with Activision. We condemn harassment and abuse in the industry and blah, 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 blah.
And, you know, I mean, while that is not as much as he could do, that is establishing a norm that's a good norm to establish, right? I mean, just to sort of to say it, like, it's not a bad thing to get up there and,
for
and
sure.
say that.
I would not complain about
yeah,
that.
It is better than nothing. And I actually would be kind of surprised if he even did that.
I think that's going to happen. I feel like he knows that there aren't a lot of... One of the other things about the Activision thing is that it's kind of an easy win right now because everybody on every single side of every single issue is like all out to get Activision.
Right, even
right
like
now.
The there CEOs of Sony and Microsoft
yeah,
are willing
are
to
no,
weigh in on
there's
that.
Nobody out there being like, you know, Bobby Kotick made some good points, seems like a really decent guy.
He makes
like,
a lot of
no...
money and we love money. No one's
exactly.
saying that, even if
there's
they might
no
think
downside.
It.
There's no downside to criticizing Activision right now, except then you lose your potential to like reveal the new Call of Duty map or whatever.
Which Jeff may have. I mean, he doesn't spell that out in the Washington Post quote.
Well, that's what he said in his statement on Twitter, that there won't be any Activision presence
right.
in the award show other than nominees, which I think is...
Correct, and we don't know if maybe there was something he was considering
right, maybe
showing.
He was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Could be. Mm-hmm. And I would be very curious about that. Anyway, that's the Activision stuff. Hey, let's talk about the nominations a little bit. I highlighted some for us to look at. I don't want to read every single one, but I think each of us should just talk a little bit about like what stands out to us among all of these. And I'll go first with one that really stood out to me, which is 12 Minutes getting an award, a nominee for Best Indie.
Clearly, Bizarre. Jason was not on the nominating committee for this game as the one of us who's played it.
Dude, that's like one of the worst games I played this year. And the fact
I'm
that like
baffled by this. I don't know anyone.
The best
liked
indies
it.
Are 12 Minutes, Death's Door, Inscription, Kena: Bridge of Spirits, and Loop Hero. Those are four solid nominees, and then 12 Minutes, right? And the fact that like they left out like the Forbidden City, which was
yeah.
amazing, and like some or Forbidden Forgotten City, sorry, Forgotten City, which was amazing, and some other just incredibly cool indie games this year, like Unpacked or like other stuff that like flew under the radar, in favor of 12 Minutes. God, 12 Minutes was so bad. Anyway, what stands out for you guys?
It's mainly weird to me because I'm like, who voted for this? Were there just a bunch of people who stealth were like, I actually really love 12 Minutes?
Well,
like, 12 they just
it
didn't
got
want
good reviews.
It.
It got good
there
reviews.
Are a lot of people who like 12 Minutes. That is a thing. It's not universally hated.
Okay. I guess I stand corrected. This is
like,
a real Green Book situation for me, and I just gotta be like, okay, I don't
players
understand
didn't like it as much as critics did. But then again, I mean, Cyberpunk has like got amazing, got like nines and tens from, and in fact, Cyberpunk
speaking
also
of
got
which,
a,
yeah, it's in the next category.
Cyberpunk
best role-playing game,
for
Cyberpunk
best role-playing
2077
game.
Is in this list, and
over Bravely
it is again,
Default too.
Alongside four nominees that I would have expected to be in
yes.
this list, which are Monster Hunter Rise, Scarlet Nexus, Shin Megami Tensei 5, and Tales of Arise, all of which I've heard great things about. So,
yeah.
Who knows? Bizarre.
Yeah, what else stands out to you guys? Kirk, you have a list of snubs. I know you prepared.
I have a list of snubs. First of all, the fact that Wildermyth isn't on here at all and is not on the best role-playing nominee list is completely buck wild.
Yeah, or best indie.
No, right, I think it should have been best RPG, best narrative, and best indie, all three of those. That
I
game's
agree.
Incredible.
Very
and
cool
also,
game.
Like, it's the game with the most role-playing of all of these role-playing games. I mean,
yeah.
to be fair, Cyberpunk 2077 does have role-playing in it, which I would say compared to Monster Hunter Rise or Tales of Arise, I mean, those games aren't really role-playing games in that sense. Monster Hunter Rise should have just been best action game. Like, what in the world? Or best action adventure? That's not a role-playing game. So there's some sort of, you know, categorization disputes that I would have. My other snubs are... Jane Perry, the star of Returnal, absolutely should have
yes.
been nominated for Best Performance. I think she gave one of the best performances of the year. Mm-hmm. I was struck by the music list. It's kind of been a down year, I think, for video game music. There hasn't mm-hmm. been, there's been plenty of good stuff. And I'm sure there are some games I haven't played, role-playing games, et cetera. Actually, I'm playing Unpacking, which is going to
yes.
be one more thing. That game has really nice music. That could have been nominated.
It has really good audio design. I lobbied for it to be among Polygon's best audio design because it has so much Foley work in terms of
yeah.
like when you're putting away mm-hmm. each item.
Very,
it has
very
so
satisfying.
Much differentiated Foley
yeah.
work. It's so great. And the music
the
is
the sound
also
of a
lovely.
Box being like folded up and the music is nice. And I
and
think
Chicory had great music.
Fantasian came out this year. Fantasian has an Uematsu soundtrack that's incredible.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that. So, right, there's some games I haven't played like that one. I Gather the Artful Escape has cool music, but Cyberpunk's music is okay. Deathloop's music didn't knock me out. Guardians of the Galaxy is such a weird nominee. I'm listing the nominees, but that's licensed music, and that is included in the description of the category. Is like it's best score and music.
Aha's take on me, yeah, pretty good song. Should we be giving it an award in 2021? Yes, I love that song. Like, okay, yeah. You know who wrote some good songs? Blondie. You guys heard of her? She wrote some great stuff.
Some good stuff.
Pat Benatar, you heard of this? Like, what are we doing?
Great stuff there.
But, I mean, Guardians, it has some ambient music too, doesn't it? Doesn't it have other original
It does,
original
and
music?
I don't really like the ambient music.
It's fine. It's fine, but it doesn't knock me out. The thing is that this nomination list is missing. And then Nier Replicant, which I didn't play, I'm sure has good music just because Nier Automata certainly did.
Of course.
But the two games that are missing from this are two of my favorite soundtracks. Death's Door, David Fenn's music in Death's Door is incredible, I think. And Peter McConnell's music wasn't nominated for Psychonauts 2, which is banana nut bars to me, because that's the best soundtrack
amazing.
Of the year.
Amazing.
That is nuts, because it was nominated for everything
nominated for
else.
A bunch of stuff, which is great. Yeah, very
that's
deserving.
Crazy.
That's one
it is
of
great.
The...
If, it's very cool to see. Didn't expect game. Psychonauts 2 to be nominated for so much, and I loved that game. So I was actually pleasantly surprised to see that in there.
So I think that oversight for music is very strange to me, because also he just really deserves awards and recognition. He's like such an industry veteran and like a legend, and Peter McConnell. So he wins the award from Kirk anyways. And the other two, sorry, just really quick, are that I think Overboard and Unpacking both could have been in Best Narrative, and that the Best Narrative... Yeah.
Overboard,
it's just like a little bit of a weird one, even though it seems like It Takes Two is like the game that the three of us missed.
Best Narrative. Can we talk about Best Narrative?
Like, I can't believe, Best Narrative is Deathloop, It Takes Two, Life is Strange, True Colors, Guardians of the Galaxy, Psychonauts 2. The fact, like, I love Deathloop, but Best Narrative? What?
No.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Just,
I would have given Deathloop best performances for both of the lead actors. Mm. Not Best Narrative.
No, it's a little funny, right? It's just, it's funny that there are, like, Best Narrative could be expanded to mean a lot more than it is meaning here. When you have a game like Wildermyth, for example, that's doing things with narrative that other games don't do.
And
I do think that this was a game that Disco Elysium maybe won for. Like, I feel like I'd like to see more games, like narrative design, to be considered a little bit more. And I don't think that's too egg-headed to kind of want to see that in the best narrative category?
I don't either. I think it's like, it's almost like you need a narrative innovation category for stuff like Overboard and Wildermyth. And then you need something like best writing for what I'm imagining they want to give it to Psychonauts 2 and Guardians of the Galaxy and
like
Deathloop
best
for.
And screenplay.
Yeah, like best one-liners, best jokes that people liked, you know? Like that's why people want to put those games
best,
in this list.
Best screenplay, best teleplay. Yeah. So I have a couple funny things I want to talk about on this list. So first, let me read a couple of categories. Best Game Direction, Deathloop, It Takes Two, Returnal, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. And then Game of the Year, Deathloop, It Takes Two, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and Resident Evil Village. Best Game Direction, first of all, that is the silliest concept because nobody has any idea what it means. Second of all, that is so offensive to the director of Metroid Dread and Resident Evil Village that they were nominated for Game of the Year, but not Best Game Direction. They didn't have the best directors, just the Game of the Year.
But it's meaningless anyway. Like, again, as you say, like, what is a game director?
Okay, I don't know if a lot of people know this or realize this, but here's a fun little tidbit that will make this even more hilarious for you guys. Psychonauts 2... The game director on that game left in the middle of production, like 2 years before it shipped. That game, if you look at the credits of that game, it doesn't have a director, because what happened was Zach McClendon left in 2019. Tim Schafer, who's the head of Double Fine, took over as like project lead, but did not get a director's credit. So if you look at the credits of Psychonauts 2, there's no director. How did this game get nominated for Best Game Direction when there's no director?
I think so. If we want to find the root of this problem, it's one step farther back, and that's that all of these categories make sense, at least insofar as you can kind of figure out what they're going for. Even things that I think in the past sort of joked about, like best action game and best action adventure game.
Mm-hmm. Or best role-playing game, with which you took a lot of issue in the category.
That makes more sense to me than direction.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying even those kinds of things like action game, action adventure game, I can look at it and basically get what they're going for with those. But with best game direction, that's the one category where I look at it and I'm like, I do not actually really understand what this is an award for.
They just want to be the Oscars. That is
it's just
all
yeah, exactly. It's just trying to be the Oscars.
But they can't.
And I guess
you can't.
But in this case, it just doesn't work.
There's no allegorical.
It just
yeah.
makes
category.
No sense. What they should do, well, so okay, so game direction, yeah, it just makes no sense. I guess what they're trying to do is like this game feels like it has the most artistic, like cohesive artistic vision.
Right.
That's what they're trying to say, I guess. But then it makes no sense that like Metroid Dread wouldn't be on it. Like, did that not right. feel
And also
like
that Deathloop is on there, and I feel yeah. like that right. was one of the flaws of that game, you know? No offense.
Is that it's kind of all over the place.
Not
yeah,
cohesive.
I can see that too.
Yeah.
And then It Takes Two is probably only on there because the director is like a character, like a colorful character. And I wonder if everyone just assumed that Tim Schafer was the director of Psychonauts 2, and they're like, oh, Tim Schafer, like, best game
right.
direction.
Tim Schafer, of course, I want to vote for Tim Schafer. That's interesting. Do you think the Joseph Ferris effect led to It Takes Two being voted into so many categories? It's not that people
well,
played
I don't
It
know.
Takes
I didn't,
Two. They just wanted to vote for Joseph Ferris.
I didn't
Ferris.
Play it. So, but I mean, I've heard good things about
it's
It Takes Two.
It's a divisive game. Our Friends of the Besties did not game. Care for it.
It is very divisive. I know people who hate it, and I work with them, and they've reviewed yes. the game. Polygon.
So I want to talk about one more category, and then I want us all to do Game of the Year thoughts and predictions. So okay. one more category is most anticipated game.
Oh
so
boy.
Okay, so I'm gonna read you the nominees for most anticipated game: Elden Ring, God of War sequel, Horizon Forbidden West, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild sequel. Wait a minute, I'm actually reading from the 2020 nominees. Okay, hold on. Let me go to 2021. Okay. Elden Ring, God of War sequel.
Like, no, you're not. You're
Horizon reading. Forbidden West, sequel to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
That's pretty funny. So it should have been most anticipated delay last year.
So not only is it funny for that reason, it's also the funniest thing that there's an awards category for best marketing of
I mean,
game.
There isn't at all when you consider this awards show. That this
right.
is an
well,
awards show and a marketing event. Like, of course that's what they have an award for.
That's what's so funny about it. It's just like, it's trying to have its cake and eat it too, right?
It is successfully having its cake and eating it too.
It is.
No, I don't
There's
think
There's two
so.
Cakes.
No.
Jeff
no,
has two
not.
Cakes.
They're just two cakes, right?
Not.
And they're
two
both
cakes.
Delicious.
One's for
no,
eating,
Kirk,
one's for
Mr. I'm so excited for the announcements, Jason Schreier.
No, but that's what... No, I think it has a massive, massive win when it comes to the marketing side of it. And it does not have the prestige. It did not have its cake and eat it too. Like, it had
it's
a
smaller
cake, but it
cake,
didn't
maybe.
Eat it. Like, it is not considered... Like, I think if you ask your average game developer, they will say this is a joke. As opposed to if you ask your average movie maker, where they might say, oh yeah, I kind of hate the Oscars, but like, gotta admit, it's the most important thing. Like, I don't think
and
the Game Awards have
And it matters to your
the...
career. I don't know. The Game Awards seem like they kind of matter.
Yeah, I think the GDC Awards matter a lot more to game developers because that's voted on by like their own peers, and they just, I think that's something they care about more.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of like winning at Cannes versus or Cannes mm-hmm, versus mm-hmm. winning an Oscar?
Maybe, but those are both prestigious, and I just don't think there's much prestige to the Game Awards. And I think that categories like this are the reason why. Like, I just think it's really good at the marketing side, but doesn't have the prestige. Anyway, let's do Game of the Year real quick, and then we'll take a break. Game of the Year nominations, once again, are Deathloop, It Takes Two, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, Resident Evil Village. So let's each go one by one and say what we think's going to win, and then what should have won. Kirk, you go first.
This is a year where I'd actually be fine with a lot of these winning. I think that... You know, I kind of feel like Deathloop is going to win. I guess I could see it being Metroid Dread, but for whatever reason, it feels like Deathloop is going to win. I would love to see Psychonauts 2 win this, but I'll be happy with Deathloop winning because I love that game too. And Metroid Dread, all three of those. The other ones are a little more, oh, I didn't play it, It Takes Two, but Ratchet & Clank and Resident Evil are both a little like, they were good, but I've kind of forgotten them a little bit. Like, they don't feel quite as exciting to me. So Deathloop, I guess, is my prediction.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. I could see Deathloop winning. I'd be a little disappointed because I'd rather see Metroid Dread or Psychonauts 2 win. Mm-hmm. I will say I do not think Metroid Dread will win. I would love to see that,
you
but
don't.
I just don't think it's the kind of game that wins this award show. I feel like I've seen enough Game Awards in my lifetime to make that claim about the kinds of games people vote on for Game of the Year.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
So you think, wait, Kirk, what did you think should win? Whether it's one of these or like another game
entirely? I think Deathloop will win, and it either that or Metroid or Psychonauts should win, those three.
Is there any that's not nominated that you think should have won?
Oh, I mean, like, so many.
Wildermyth?
Returnal, Wildermyth, Hitman 3.
Yeah, Hitman 3.
Monster Hunter Rise is just one of the best games of the year. Deathstore.
People might have forgotten that Hitman 3 actually came out this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of good friggin' games this year. Inscription, shit, that could be nominated for Game of the Year. That game rules.
Mm-hmm. And Maddie, you think Deathloop's going to win, but you want, you feel like Metroid Dread should
win. I would love to see Metroid Dread win. It is my personal game of the year, and I don't think that's any secret to anyone in the universe.
What a surprise.
Yeah, I don't think it will win, but I am no longer brokenhearted over Game Awards choices. After last year, when Last of Us Part 2 won, and I just was like, wow, this feels like Crash versus Brokeback Mountain to me. I feel bad. I don't like this. Personally, that was just my personal opinion of that game versus Hades. I felt very unhappy.
No, this
about
year
it.
it's stronger.
This year it's I would say it's more neutral. It's more neutral.
There isn't a nominee that's the inevitable nominee.
Yeah, there isn't a clear winner this year. That's what's interesting. There's no
like a God of War or Red Dead Redemption 2.
Right.
Last of Us 2.
Whereas last year it was so exciting that Hades was even nominated. So it felt different to see Hades lose.
Oh yeah. That last year, right, it was because we were all rooting for Hades, because Hades really deserved it.
Right. I know. Well, it should have won. This is a tough one. I'm like going back and forth on whether I think it's going to be Deathloop or Psychonauts that wins. But ultimately, I think it's going to be Deathloop just based on like the critical reception we saw. Mm-hmm.
And like, the kinds of games that win.
Yeah,
it's like an action shooter.
Yeah.
It just feels like awards bait. Am I right, guys? It's funny that that's
video game awards bait, though. Is like,
but I feel like Metroid and Psychonauts are such strong candidates. I mean, I don't know. I feel like my favorite game of the year is The Great Ace Attorney, but there's no way that would ever
win. I mean, that's not even in here. But I get what you're saying. It's too bad. That's just not the kind of game that even makes headway in this type of list.
Which is fine. That's not what I would expect from an award show. Like, it's my niche taste to be reflected on the show. I just would like to see a little bit more sense.
The most fun is being like, well, actually, the best game was Inscription. Yeah, have you played it? Or it's a little bit more unusual.
What's crazy to me is when even like the big first party hits like don't get nominated. So like best RPG, and we have to take a break in a second, but just one little snub that I'm pissed off about. Best RPG, like Cyberpunk getting nominated for that when Bravely Default 2, which is an incredible RPG that Nintendo published. It's not like a niche thing. That didn't get nominated. And all right.
I think it's cute that you don't think Bravely Default is a niche thing. We can move on, but I just think that's endearing.
And sold. Okay, we have.
I know what you're saying.
Maddie, why
however,
did you have to do
I know,
that?
I know, but it's just, it's not.
We're talking about different scales.
It's not
of
Game
niche.
Awards bait. I'll just leave it there. It's not Game Awards bait, and Cyberpunk is. You know what I'm saying?
No. But we're not talking about. Well, we're talking about just best RPG. Like Shin Megami Tensei 5 is way more niche than Bravely Default 2.
It is.
Imagine Cyberpunk being nominated after its reception. Like, that's crazy, isn't it?
I don't know if you've heard, but it has mostly positive reviews on Steam now. Jason.
It does. All right.
They're fixing it. You can put me saying that any day for the next 2 years of our
lives.
Any
day now.
Let's take a break and then we'll be back with more Game Awards. I mean, one more thing.
Well, Manolo, we have a show to promote. It's called After Game Show.
It's a family-friendly podcast where listeners submit games and we play them with callers from around the world.
Oh, sounds good. New episodes happen every other Wednesday on MaximumFun.org.
It's a fast and loose oasis of absurd innocence and naivete.
Are you writing a poem?
No, and just saying things from my memory. And it's a nice break from reality. Are we allowed to say that?
I don't know. It sounds bad.
It comes with a 100% happiness guarantee.
It does not. Come for the games and stay for the chaos.
A man goes to the doctor and says that he's depressed and that life seems cruel. The doctor says, the treatment is simple. The great clown Pagliacci is in town tonight. Go and see him and you will surely feel better. The man bursts into tears and says, "But doctor, I am Pagliacci." "Ah, okay," says the doctor. In which case, try listening to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast. The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is a multi-award-winning comedy podcast, and you can find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we are back for one more thing. My one more thing is another gripe about the...
Jeff Keighley. What? Why does he wear his hair like that?
Maddie, what's your one more thing?
Well, my one more thing is Halo Infinite. I have had an advance code for Halo Infinite, the campaign, for a week now, and also the multiplayer dropped, and it's free. So I've been playing that too. Yeah, Kirk put in a bunch of boys in a bathroom singing the Gregorian chant in the background of this. Okay, so I have to kind of eat my Master Chief helmet on this game. Because I'm loving it, folks. And I never would have thought I'd be saying that.
Very happy to hear it. I'm one of those
people who played Halo 4, 343 Industries, didn't think they had it. Didn't think it was any good. Thought it was really weird. Cortana dies at the end of that game. And then in Halo 5, she like goes evil. Didn't even play that one. Heard it was really weird and bad. And I was like, all right, I guess it's over. You know, Bungie's not making these anymore. Halo's just going to be bad. And then Halo Infinite put out that trailer and it was terrible looking. And I just felt sorry for everybody at the game studio. And I was like, they're never going to pull it together now. But hey, Master Chief, the comeback kid, this game is so fucking fun, you guys. I'm having so much fun playing this video game. I'm so glad to hear that.
Okay. I think if it had come out last November, it would be as terrible.
And I think the extra time probably really benefited them, and it'll be interesting to hear why. So the big thing that this game has that will probably be controversial, but then people will try it and then they'll love it, is that Master Chief has a grappling hook now, and it changes everything, and it fucking rules.
I was about to jokingly be like, Master Chief has a grappling hook, but then that was actually the thing.
That's actually what it is. So like, you can grapple hook a dude like in his shoulder, and you go right to him, and then you just bop him on the head, little bunny foo foo style, and he's fucking dead. And then you like energy sword another guy really quickly, and then you're like stealing people's guns, and it like totally changes up combat, and everything feels so fluid and awesome. And you can grapple hook certain surfaces like Samus Aran style, which is very fun. There's like a little more platforming involved in some of the levels now, because you gotta like scale certain areas, and you can use that to your advantage if you want to, depending on how you play. And it's so awesome. And in Big Team Battle, which is one of the multiplayer modes, the grappling hook is like one of the things that you can find around the level and use in multiplayer, which is awesome. And you can also find that really huge hammer, which is like very Super Smash Brothers-esque. And truly makes Big Team Battle just the funnest thing ever. And I don't know, Halo's cool again, and it rules
so much
to play.
Oh man.
Also,
that makes me so happy to
kind
hear.
Of a funny game. Like, it's not Guardians of the Galaxy level quips at all, but it's like a little bit funny. And I thought that was an interesting choice. Like, I don't know, the writing just has a little bit of sparkle to it. Sometimes it's just really corny, and it's just like an alien yelling at you, and it's Halo, and like, who cares? I don't really care about the Banished. And sometimes you'll walk by a Marine who says, the Banished took everything from me, and you're like, how many times have I played a video game with that line in it? 1,000. Who cares? But then there's just like a little bit of sarcasm from the Chief in this game, and it's... So far, I'd say it's just the right amount. I'm like a few hours into the campaign, and I think it's only 8 hours. So I feel confident saying that it's gonna stay that way. And I've heard from my colleagues who've beaten the game, and they love it. And they were all like pushing it up on their Game of the Year lists for end of year voting and saying, like, we got to get this in there, folks. So like, I feel pretty confident saying it's really, really fun.
It's a winner.
And just, I don't know, it's Halo. Guys, it's Halo, and it's so satisfying.
That's great.
So,
cool.
So first of all, yeah, I'm very happy to hear that. I've got a big story that should be out by now about the development of this game, and we talked to Joe Staten and stuff like that. And I think it's really, I mean, I'm very happy that it all came together, because like the various iterations they've been through on this game, it just felt destined to be another Anthem. And I heard an anecdote from people over there while I was talking to them. I did a lot of this reporting last year when the delay happened and before that and stuff, when I heard it was going through development hell. And so people, when I did that big story about Anthem a couple of years ago, it's kind of like the or video game story, because I got like 10 emails from people being like, hey, my game's like this too. Fit my game in here and it's the same story. Halo Infinite was one of them. And people who were working on the game like talked about it. And there was this anecdote going around that like, or this mantra going around that's like, hey, you go through this and either you have an anthem or you have a God of War at the end of it. And yeah. I'm glad that they made a good game. They got something really good out of it.
I wish it didn't have to be that way on the road to it though. That's kind of the bittersweet aspect of it all.
Well, you make these AAA games and they're all just a nightmare, and you got nightmare tools and lack of direction and just it's a brutal process making these things.
Yeah, but then there's a grappling hook at the end and there's a grappling hook.
So originally the original idea was like Breath of the Wild. That's all they were talking about was Breath of the Wild. Halo Breath of the Wild. And so they wanted to do a bunch of different powers that you would get. Yeah. And like they talked about that for a while.
They do have some other powers you can get. I don't know how many there are, but I just picked up the second one, which is like you can reveal invisible guys around you, and there's like a specific boss you have to use it against, and I beat him. Nice. And I was so annoyed grappling hook in order to equip the stupid power to use like see invisible boss, because I was like, I just want to grapple hook everything. So I don't know, I might unlock some more powers, but it's hard to imagine something better than the grappling hook, TBH. So we'll see how the rest of the game goes for me, but I'm feeling good about it.
Kirk, what's your one more thing?
My one more thing, just very briefly, is Unpacking, which Maddie already talked about a few episodes back, and I played largely due to her recommendation, and I've been seeing people talk about this game. And I just wanted to say it's wonderful. It is a soothecore game. And yes. I looked around and I didn't see anyone using soothecore. So I'm going to say that I made up the name for a genre.
You invented it. And I started using it at work, and nice. I'm making people use it now. So it's you. It's all you. And I'm crediting
it's you. It's a useful term. Cheers. yes, I do really like it. I played it actually while I was traveling over Thanksgiving just on my laptop. And it's really nice. It's a really nice game. And it does have a really creative narrative. I think there's just something to the narratives that can be told by the objects we leave lying around, which is something we saw in Gone Home and have seen again in so many games. And then in operating system games where you're looking through people's computers. Like, that is a really cool method for storytelling, and they're doing a very good job of it with this game. I haven't finished yet, but I'm going to, because it's lovely. So that's Unpacking. It's a good game. I recommend it. It's a nice change of pace, a breath of fresh air. Very good.
Yeah, it's great.
Cool. So my one more thing is I watched a movie, a documentary this week called Three Identical Strangers. Have you guys heard of this or watched
No.
it? Okay, so it's about three strangers named Kirk Hamilton, Maddie Myers, and Jason Farrow. Okay.
Come together to make a video game podcast.
Okay, so I'll give like a little bit of it, because I almost don't want to spoil it. It's really, really good. It's a documentary. It's on Hulu. Worth watching. Let me give you the premise. So it starts off with this guy, and he's telling this story, and he's like, all right, I was in college, and I go to this college, and people start recognizing me, and then I get to this dorm room, and someone's like, you're Eddie, aren't you? And he's like, no, I'm not Eddie. And he goes on this hunt to find Eddie, and he tracks down Eddie, and they look at each other, and they're identical. It turns out they're identical twins.
This is a documentary?
That were both adopted and
wow.
separated at birth.
Wow.
A reporter does a newspaper story about these two people, and someone else finds the newspaper and is like, holy shit, this is me. Like, I'm the third of these. These guys
Whoa.
Look like me.
What?
Turns out they're triplets. The story gets even crazier from there.
How did it get crazier?
Because it turns out, so they all meet up, they become instant like connections, like they all fall in love with each other immediately, like, and they have this brotherly relationship. They wind up doing a TV tour and like going on talk shows and stuff. This was in the 80s, so that's why you don't remember or haven't heard of it.
Well, and they lived on a water base called Outer Heaven, and that was where
one of them is solid, one of them is liquid.
And one is the liquid.
Yeah. Well, yeah. One of them is solid, one of them is liquid, and one of them is gas. No, wait. Solidus,
right.
Solid, liquid, and
solidus.
Yeah, gaseous snake. There was never a gaseous snake.
There was
anyway,
never
sorry,
a
continue.
Gas. Anyway, and then it turns out, and then things get a little dark, because it turns out they were separated for like kind of nefarious purposes. And I'll just leave it at that, because I don't want to spoil too much of the documentary. But you guys are already hooked. Like, it's really good. Yeah. It's a really
great
story.
Sounds
and it's
wow.
really done. It's done incredibly well. So
twin stories are just so fascinating. I'm actually playing a show with identical twins next week, and their life just fascinates me. The idea of having another person that you are so close with that looks exactly like you, like, I can't even fathom it. It's such a trip.
And they're a musical group? That's so
cool. Yeah, they
cool.
sing together. The Shook Twins. They're great.
Well, okay, so it's so funny how often you see that where like these twins have this talent. And in the NBA, there are like four sets of twins that are like playing together. Like the Morris twins, the Lopez twins, like there are multiple twins, the Plumlee twins. And so the fact that like the nature versus nurture thing and the fact that twins are so uncanny, these are like themes that the documentary explores in some really interesting ways. So that's highly so recommend cool. it. Go check it out. Three Identical Rad. Strangers. Nice. And on that note, I am off to Los Angeles to go see the Game Awards. And,
yeah, have fun at the show.
Hopefully see some cool surprises.
I'll be looking for you. Every time they do an audience react, I'll be like, what does Jason think about this?
Yeah, I'm probably going to be. I feel like they stick the media in the way back, but who knows? We'll see.
All right. We'll
and
see.
I'll be wearing a mask, I'm sure. Anyway, I will see you guys when I'm back. I'll let you know how it is. And yeah, let's all hang out and tweet jokes and make jokes in the Discord.
Yeah, sounds see good. All right. See you all then. And we'll make another show next week.
Bye.
Triple Click is produced by Jason Schreier, Maddie Myers, and me, Kirk Hamilton. I edit and mix the show and also wrote our theme music. Our show art is by Tom DJ. Some of the games and products we talked about on this episode may have been sent to us for free for review consideration. You can find a link to our ethics policy in the show notes. Triple Click is a proud member of the Maximum Fun Podcast Network, and if you like our show, we hope you'll consider supporting us by becoming a member at MaximumFun.org/join. Find us on Twitter at TripleClickPod, send email to TripleClick@MaximumFun.org, and find a link to our Discord in the show notes. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.